Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, let's get into it. 1 John chapter 2, we didn't quite get done with 1 John chapter 2, so I want to pick it up. Let's start in verse 18 just as as kind of an overview, and then we'll get into chapter 3. 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 18. And let's pray before we start. Father, again, we're here with our Bibles, and we're here with you. Lord, in this passage, it talks about the fact that we have an anointing that comes from the Holy One. And we don't need a teacher because we have you. And I like that, Lord. I like that. I like it that we don't need experts. We don't need people who are the elite to be able to understand your word. This is a simple thing, Lord, when we're going through the word. And it can be as complex as, it can be complex and cool, and it can be, you know, just really awesome. And I'm not telling you anything, Lord, but it's simple. And it's something that's taught by the Spirit. So God, we ask that your Spirit would teach us here tonight, that as we're going through your word, God, that it wouldn't be my study that brings the light of truth necessarily to each heart here, but your word coming alive, your Spirit highlighting passages, highlighting issues, highlighting different things that need to be spoken to each heart that's here. Just bless the time, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, it says, little children, it's the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and he's talking about the big Antichrist in the book of Revelation, the guy who's Satan's man, the guy who's going to be the last Roman emperor, the guy who's going to be the dictator of the planet. He's on the horizon. Even as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So you have Antichrist and you have chips off the old Antichrist running around. You have little Antichrist running around trying to be like the big Antichrist. And that's just something that's satanic, and it's the way that it's going to go. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Get that? No lie is of the truth. If you have lies, you do not have truth. Truth is truth, unmixed, unadulterated. That's the way that truth is supposed to be. And if I have a lie mixed in with the truth, I don't have the truth. You know, it's kind of, have you heard the story about the dad who was trying to illustrate compromise to his kids? He was, the kids would come up to him and they'd be listening to stuff on their podcasts and on Spotify and that kind of stuff that was just ungodly. And they'd be watching things, you know, compromising in the area of movies, watching R-rated movies and stuff like that. And just messing around with the world. And so this dad decided to, you know, and the kids would say, Dad, it's not a big deal. You know, the guy only cussed one time, you know, during the whole movie. And, you know, in this other movie, he only said the F word, you know, 10 times. And I don't listen. I just kind of plug my ears. Or, you know, when the sex scene comes on, I just look down or, you know, that kind of, and they were saying that kind of stuff to him. And so he said, okay. And just went on with it. And then what he did was he baked some brownies. And when he baked the brownies, he put dog poop in the brownies. But he only put a little bit of dog poop. Not a lot, just a little bit. And so he brought the brownies up to the kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, brownies, awesome, Dad, you know, thanks. And he goes, before you eat those brownies, I just want to tell you that I put a little dog poop in there. And it's not a lot of dog poop, just a little bit of dog poop. Nothing, you know, you won't even be able to taste it. You won't even notice it. It's not going to be a big, fat deal. And so eat up. Off you go. And they're like, what are you doing? And then he gave them the illustration. This is like the world. We need to watch out for this stuff. And so, you know, when Satan lies to people, he's not, he's not stupid in his lies. If I wanted to be a really good liar, what I would tell is truth, 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 slip the lie in, truth, 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 truth. And my lie would be something that just tweaks the truth a little bit. It just tweaks it. And you know, Satan is just really good at this. He comes along and when he lies about who Jesus is, when he lies about who God is, he'll tell you the truth. So he'll talk about God and he'll say, God is a God of judgment. Is that true? Yeah, absolutely. Does God judge people? Has God actually killed people? Yeah, he has. And so you have the situation with the flood. It's the whole planet, you guys. And you have the situation with Sodom and Gomorrah, five cities broken down to four instead of five in the end. And so four cities in the plain. You have Sodom and Gomorrah. You have the Canaanites. The Canaanites were judged. You have the Edomites. The Edomites were judged. And you can go down through history and you can see God's judgment on certain people at certain times because of certain things. At one point, when God judged the Canaanites, they were fighting with the Israelites, Joshua, in the battle of Ai. They're fighting against the Canaanites. They're driving them out of the land. And literally, God intervenes from heaven and starts taking these guys out with stones that are falling from the sky. These are meteorites. And so meteorites are taking out the bad guys and leaving the good guys. You realize how that whole thing has to work? I mean, it doesn't have to work the way that I want it to, but I kind of think it does. In the sense that I kind of think it goes this way. God knows that there's going to be a battle of Ai. He knows that there's going to be events leading up to the battle of Ai. He knows that these events include the fact that these guys are immoral and just ungodly in unprecedented ways. To the point where God has to drive them out of the nation. We talked about the Canaanites before. They'd literally have orgies. They'd have sex as worship for God. They'd have sex with each other's wives, with each other's daughters. They would get pregnant. They didn't want the pregnancies, so they'd burn the babies. And it's just this cycle that went on in Canaanite culture. And so you see God saying to the Israelites, do not be involved with these people. Do not be involved with their gods. Because of what they've done, I'm vomiting out them out of the land. If you do the same thing, I'm going to do it with you too. And so you have hundreds of years of people doing this. And so God's going to be done. He knows the day that he's going to be done. He knows the day he's going to be done with Ai. And so when he makes the creation, when he does everything, he's got little rocks floating out in space. In fact, we're coming up on a meteor shower tonight. It's going to be a really good one. And when we go through, basically what's happening is we're passing through the tail of a comet. The comet's not here anymore. It's just gone by. And so we're passing through the tail of a comet. It looks like it comes from a certain point in space. And so every year at this time, when we get around in the orbit of the Earth, these certain particles are falling down to the Earth because, again, we're passing through the tail of a comet that went through. Okay, well, you got the same thing. So there's stuff floating out in space, and each one of these rocks that fell down on the armies of Ai had a name on it, basically. God put the name of the guy on it from the creation of the world, knowing that this guy was never going to turn, never going to repent, and the way that he was going to finally take him out was by hitting him with a rock in the head from outer space. I think that's cool. I think that's pretty awesome. You know what the penalty for blasphemy was? You know what the penalty for murder of children was? You know what the penalty for sexual immorality was? You know what it was? It was stoning. God stoned these guys. So is God a God of judgment? Yes, absolutely. And so Satan will use that to try to tweak people. He'll go, oh, God's so mean. And it'll take you to the Old Testament. God in the Old Testament is mean. God in the New Testament, he's nice. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they go to church one day, lie about what they put in the offering, and they fall over dead. How'd you like that happening in our church? You lie about what gets put in the offering? Hey, did you put such and such in the offering? Well, yes, I did. and down you go. And we take you out and bury you out in the back 40 someplace. And anyway, that happened in the Bible. So there's judgments in the book of Acts. I'm not going to go on and on with this. But God's a God of judgment in the New Testament too. The point that I'm making is he didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's exactly the same. Is God a God of grace in the New Testament? Woman caught in adultery. That's a great story, right? Most people know it. She's caught in adultery in the very act. People want to stone her. Does she deserve to be stoned? Yes, she does. That was the penalty for what she had done. Few problems here. If she's caught in the act, she was doing it with somebody, and he's not there. That's a little problem. And then the attitude of the guys who were doing this stuff, they weren't doing it because they were outraged by her actions. They were doing it because they wanted to catch Jesus. They knew that Jesus was going to be gracious, that he was going to be forgiving, and they wanted to make him look like an idiot in the eyes of those who understand that the law had penalties. And that's what they wanted to do with them. They were tooling the lady, basically, is what happens. And so Jesus deals with the guys who are doing the tooling. He deals with the lady, go and sin no more. And, you know, and he walks out and you see the graciousness of God. I just told you the story of Ai in the Old Testament. Story of Jericho, right before Ai. There's a lady who's a hooker. She's a prostitute. Old King Jimmy, she's a whore. And she is in Jericho. And she is the only Canaanite who ever repented. The only one. You know what they did with hookers in the Old Testament? You know what they did? They stoned them. They got rid of them. You know what she deserves? Stoning. You know what happens to her? The grace of God. And the reason that the grace of God comes down on her is because she repents. If the people of Canaan had repented, they would have been the grace of God. But what you see is a situation where God comes in with his people. It's time for judgment. Judgment's going to come. And what ends up taking place is a situation where you can see that it was the time for judgment by the fact that only one person in the decades that this battle, that these battles took place, only one person ever repented. Only one. That tells you how far they'd gone. And so God is a God of judgment, but he does it after grace is exhausted. He does it after the offer of his goodness is refused over and over and over again. And Satan just doesn't tell you that part. He just tells you the one part without telling you the other part. Keeps things out of context. Make sure that you don't know the whole thing. Make sure that you only know a half-truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie every single time, you guys. And it's a whole lie whether somebody's telling a half-truth that I know about or whether I'm telling a half-truth. It's a whole lie. And so no lie is of the truth. Again, I didn't mean to go off on that, but there you go. I don't even know where I'm at now. Verse 21, it says, I've written to you because you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he's promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Okay, a couple things that I wanted to address before we move out of this passage. Verse 19, my version says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And what he's talking about in that passage is false teachers. And he lets you know down in verse 26, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. That's what he's talking about in this passage. And so the reason I'm talking about that is because I've heard people use this as a, you know, kind of a standard or kind of a reason that people walk away from the Lord. So if they walk away from the Lord, if they ever backslide, if they ever turn away from Jesus, they'll go to this verse and say, well, none of them were of us. They were not of us, and that's why they walked away. John is not talking about Christians in general. He's talking about false teachers. And so Paul talked about the fact that false teachers were going to arise. Wolves were going to arise from the midst of the church and they were going to lead many astray. And that he feared those things. He warned the people at Ephesus day and night, he said, with tears. because of this. And so this is the same kind of situation. There are false teachers, some of the worst teachers, some of the worst heretics that have ever been, people who attacked the deity of Christ, attacked the nature of God, attacked the nature of what salvation is, have come from the midst of the church. They grew up in church. And what John is talking about is these kinds of guys. The other thing that I wanted to point out to you is my translation says that none of them were of us. None of them were of us. So all these guys that have left, none of them were of us. That is not how the Greek reads. And so if you have a King Jimmy, an old King James, the way that it reads is that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And that's actually how it reads in Greek. And so even in the context of people who are involved in false teaching, John is not making the statement that none of these guys were ever of us. In fact, there's a passage in the book of 2 Peter that talks about the fact that many false teachers deny the Lord who bought them. And so there was some kind of relationship with Christ at some time, and then they turned away from that relationship and they got involved in false teaching, and they end up coming to the point where they actually deny Jesus. And so, you know, something that you just need to be aware of. The Greek there says "ouk esi pontes," not "pontes ouk esi," which one would mean they were not all of us, and the other one would mean none of them were of us. And that's not how it reads in Greek there. And so just so that you know that. In this passage, he talks about these antichrists, and he talks about how to combat them. And one of the ways that he says to combat the teaching of a false teacher is an anointing. Verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. And so my first line of defense against a false teacher is the fact that I have the work of God taking place in my life, that I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. And so there are going to be these times where somebody comes up to your door, knocks on, and nice young men in nice white shirt and black slacks, and in Southern California, they rode bikes. Up here, they're in cars now. But they have a little sign on their chest and it says, Elder so-and-so, and that kind of thing. And they'll come up and they'll say all kinds of nice things, and they're false teachers. And one of the things that happens with newer believers is you give your life to Christ, Satan wants to immediately combat it, and he'll bring false teachers into your life. He'll try to get you to go astray. And so you need to be aware of this. And one of the things that will take place is that when you are listening to somebody who's false, somebody who is not of God, the Holy Spirit will cause the sirens to go off. And you need to pay attention to that. I'm not saying that we need to live by feelings or, I just have discernment that you're of the devil. And you go around saying that to everybody that you don't like or that doesn't agree with you. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are these times when, somebody starts talking to you, they start saying things, and you're like, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but this is weird. And it's the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to you about those things. Happened to me when I first got saved. It continually takes place. There are times when people are talking to me, and they've got it all down doctrinally when I'm having a conversation with them. But there is something going on, and in the back of my mind, I have this boop, 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 boop. And I'm just watching them, and I'm not necessarily judging them based off that, but I do pay attention when the Holy Spirit, starts tweaking me. And I don't always know when he's doing it. But when I got that kind of stuff going on, I don't go around going, oh, now I know. That kind of thing. I just start paying attention, and I watch, and I check it out. And there may be times, actually, I can't remember a time, but I'm open to the fact that there may be times when I'm just wrong about that. But, like I said, every time I can remember when that happened, something took place later on. They were a wolf. Their teeth came out, and, Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves don't walk up to you slavering and, dripping drool, that's what slavering means, off their teeth and say, hi, I'm a wolf, and I'm here to eat you. They don't do that. Jesus said they come in sheep's clothing, so they look like a sheep. They bow like a sheep, that kind of thing. But their teeth have to come out because they have a nature to them. And so I just watch for the teeth to come out. When they come out, then we deal with it. So the anointing, pay attention to the anointing. The other thing that he talks about this anointing is you have a teacher. And yeah, the Bible talks about the fact that God's given us gifts, and it's apostles and evangelists and pastor teachers and that kind of thing. And they're there for the, you know, I'm a pastor teacher. And so I'm here for the equipping of the body. And so part of my job is to equip you. I'm feeding you. I'm growing you up. And I'm supposed to be doing that so that you can do the work of the ministry, so you can be involved in the things that God wants to do. And so that is there. It's something that God's placed there, but it's not something that's absolutely needed. If you got stuck on a desert island someplace and you had a Bible, God would teach you all by himself. He doesn't need me. He would teach you all by himself. Now, if you take that and go off and sit in your room someplace and decide that you don't have to hang out with Christians anymore, that is in disobedience to the Word of God. And you will not be taught at that point. You will become weird. People who do that become weird. And so you don't want to do that. But if you are on a desert island, you got stuck on a desert island somewhere, then that's what would happen with you. I got a joke about that. There's a guy who gets picked up off a desert island. And when they pick him up, they go, you know, there's three huts on the desert island. And they go, what are these three huts? And the guy goes, well, this hut is where I live. And they go, what's this other one? He goes, well, that's my church. And they go, well, what's that other one? Well, that's my old church. It has nothing to do with the study. I just think it's funny. That's how Christians are. In any case, you have an anointing from the Spirit. And so when I think of this, you guys, I have been a Christian for 43 years. And so I've listened to a lot of Bible studies. Most of them were mine because I've been a pastor for a long time. But I go to Bible studies. I listen to Bible studies. I listen to stuff on the radio. I still get influence from other guys. And when I go to another Bible study and I sit down to listen to what the pastor has to say, there are these times when I sit down and I'm listening and I'm paying attention to what he has to say. But there can be these times where God just causes a verse to pop out at me and it begins speaking to me through the passage. And there have literally been times where the speaker said something that got me on a train of thought, or he read a passage in the Bible. My pastor was always faithful to read passages in the Bible. And when he would read passages in the Bible, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would start talking to me about things, and I'm no longer even listening to the sermon because I'm having a one-on-one with the God of the universe as he begins talking to me about where my life needs to be. And that's the anointing. God will speak to you. God will use the Word of God in your life. And so you need to pay attention to that. That is one of the ways that you combat antichrists. It's one of the ways that you combat false teaching. Pay attention to the anointing. The second way is the Word, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and nothing that was made without him. That's in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is God in human form. I just found out that all the Halloween costumes are in the stores. And so you can go to Costco now, and there's Halloween costumes in Costco. It's August. At the beginning of August, the Halloween costumes come out. This means that Christmas is near. You know, because we're not even going to get to Halloween before the Christmas decorations are coming up. And every time we get around Christmas, Isaiah 9:6 talks about the coming of the Messiah.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.